Reading this morning is in 1 Kings, chapter 18, verses 36 to 47. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer your command. Answer me, so the people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Then Elijah commanded them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let anyone get away." They seized them, and Elijah had them brought down to Kishon Valley and slaughtered there. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go, eat and drink, and there is the sound of a heavy rain." So Ahab went off to eat and drink. But Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. "Go and look toward the sea," he told his servant, and he went and looked up. "There is nothing," he said. "Seven times, Elijah, go back." Then the seventh time, the servant reported a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, "Go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds and the wind rose, and a heavy rain started falling. And Ahab rode up to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came to Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. May God bless his word, and as Pastor Dave comes this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see every single one of you. The bad thing about sitting up front, you don't get to see the people until you stand up. So it's really delightful to see all of you. We appreciate you very much and are thankful for this opportunity to serve. Last week, we were in the book of 1 Kings. This week we will be here again for a little while. And next week we're going someplace else in the Bible. So please come. I believe God has some messages for us. This is a portion of scripture. In case you were looking at your bulletin and saw we only read just a few verses, I was very energetic when I told the secretary, Vanessa, all that scripture. I didn't realize that it was going to take most of the hour to read it all. But he read the most important part, because God was working through Elijah. Elijah was his man. He had been called to be the prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel. And as we pointed out last week, and we're not going to review all of that, God sent him to Ahab. Ahab was the worst of the seven kings. He was spiritually corrupted. He was a terrible person. He was rejecting everything that he knew to be God's way. God, Jehovah, he had pushed him right out of the kingdom. and adopted the gods of the Sidonians or the Phoenicians. These were pagan people, and he adopted the god of Baal, or Baal, however you want to say it, and Ashtaroth. These were two very pagan gods. In fact, let me just tell you something about Baal worship. They sacrificed children to Moloch. That was how hideous this kind of worship was in the days of Elijah in the northern kingdom of Israel. It was terrible. Even in the temple that had been established by Ahab in Samaria, there was prostitute worship. It was an awful thing. And of course, when we get to chapter 18, we find that Elijah finally confronts that terrible evil, the depth of that terrible evil, to turn the people's hearts back to God. Do we need that today, ladies and gentlemen? We need to have our nation, the people of our nation's heart, turned back to God. May God raise up an Elijah for our day. Someone who would have the ability to stand before government officials and say, God is going to bring judgment. I don't have a prophecy like that. But I know very well that God is watching what's going on in our nation. And so far, it isn't too late for to turn our hearts to God and to return to what God wants us to be. So in the very first verses of chapter 17, we find Ahab being confronted by Elijah saying, it's not going to rain for 3.5 years because I am asking God to cause a drought. Well, after that, Ahab and Jezebel doesn't give too much detail about this, except that God intervened and said to Elijah, you better get out of here. He said, I want you to go to this brook over there, and you stay there, and the ravens will feed you bread and meat. We don't know how long he was there. It wasn't very long until that brook dried up. And God had another plan. Isn't that wonderful? God always has a plan. He always has a way of escape for us. Don't ever feel like you're so frustrated that you don't know what to do, because we do know what to do. We can follow the Lord God Almighty. He has a plan for our lives. And so then God began to speak to him at the brook Kishon again, at the brook of Kereth, and said to him, I have prepared a widow in Zarephath. Now, as I'm looking at this, I don't know how inquisitive you guys' minds are, but my mind says to me, well, Elijah is a fugitive. Now God is telling him to go from this brook all the way about 80 miles across country as a fugitive from Jezebel because she's looking to kill him. And I just admire this Elijah guy because that didn't faze him. God said do it, Elijah did it. And that's a lesson for you and I. As God leads us and directs us in our lives, just do it. Just follow the Lord. Just be what God wants you to be. He will take you to that place where you will find protection. You will find provision. You will find everything that your soul needs to be renewed. And I've been praying that for your pastor. Now, he's off at this point in time, and I'm just praying that the Holy Spirit of God directs him and guides him and focuses his attention and gives him vision and understanding. And for the church here, I pray the same thing for those of you and I. You know, I was so thrilled when I saw this VBS thing. Oh, my heart was jumping with joy within me to see all these children and all the people that were involved in making that happen. It was fantastic. Keep it up. God has called this church to a very special ministry. And I go back a long way with this church. And I know what God was saying in the very beginning. Rise up, get out there, move out, trust me, be obedient. These are all the things that God has been teaching for us. So Elijah confronted this godless reign of Israel that Ahab had set up. I want to move on to chapter 18, because God took him from the brook Cherith to this town of Zarephath. It was probably about 80 miles, 80 or 90 miles across country. And it says in 1 Kings 1 and 2, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go present yourself to Ahab, I will send rain on the earth. So Elijah went and presented himself to Ahab. There was a severe famine in all Samaria. Ahab had been looking for Elijah for 3 years. Because he says in the third year, God said, go to Elijah, go show yourself to Ahab. So 3 years had passed from the time that he made the prophecy in chapter 17. And all that time, we're not going to detail all of it, but God provided for Elijah and this woman and her son all the time of the famine. Their cruse of oil never went dry. The barrel of flour always had flour in it. These are miracles, ladies and gentlemen. And I believe in a God of miracle. If we don't have what we need and we're going where God wants us to go, then he's going to provide for us. He always does. He provided a brook and ravens to feed Elijah. Now he's provided a widow lady with her son who were starving. And they exercise faith. You know what was so beautiful about it? And don't miss this point. Elijah, when that whole story is told about him meeting with the lady and her son, the lady at the very end is one of the first converts from missionary service. Because she believed, she saw Elijah, she saw the miracles, she saw how God was providing for herself and her whole family. And it all comes about because God cares. And God is able. And I quote this verse to myself many, many times. God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than what I can ask or think. Think about that for a while. He can do more than what we can even think about. And I know that that's true in my life over the years. With all that Gloria and I have to face in these days of our life, as we're winding down a little bit, we don't want to slow down for Jesus, but we're going to wind down a little bit because we just kind of have to. But I know one thing. God has tomorrow under control. God has what we need. God has what this church needs. God has what our nation needs. And we need to be obedient as his church. I'm praying that Pastor Doug and Miriam, when they come back here, will be full to overflowing with what God has done in their lives. May I say this to you? Don't be afraid if they might be a little radical. Maybe there's something, we never did that before, that comes. So I'm just warning you, I don't know what God's going to do, but we better be ready, because if we have sent him off to be refreshed and renewed. God is going to do that, just like he did with Elijah. He took care of Elijah. What a wonderful, wonderful story this is. And so as we begin to read in the first chapter, first verses of the book of 1 Kings 18, we learn that God said to Elijah after 3 years, "Now I want you to go and confront Ahab again." Now this is the second time in two chapters. 3 years between one and the second time. "I want you to go and I want you to present yourself to him, to Ahab." He says, "Now the promise comes, I will send rain." Isn't it neat? I was just talking to you about following the Lord and how God makes the way. You know, Ahab sent his house servant, Obadiah, out. They went out. One went this direction, one went that direction. And they weren't looking for Elijah. You know what they were looking for? Water. Because the drought was so severe that they needed springs. They needed water. Otherwise, they were going to lose their mules and their horses and probably other kind of cattle. It was going to be dissipated if something didn't take place. And it's interesting to me that in that process, that was all part of the way God was leading Elijah to come back to Ahab. Ahab didn't know it. Elijah knew it. So he went out and he found Obadiah. He's a wonderful man. He's a servant of the living God. And he saved 100 prophets that Elijah didn't know anything about. But God took care of those prophets, those men. And he was out there, and as Ahab and Obadiah were looking for springs of water, here comes God's man, Elijah, to meet with Obadiah. Now, Obadiah was just a man, like person like you and me. "Is that you?" "Yeah, it's me." Uh-oh. I can imagine what Obadiah was thinking. "If you send me back to tell Ahab I found you, God's going to take you someplace, and I'm not going to know where you are, and Ahab will kill me." Elijah said, "No, God has sent me to confront Ahab." And so he did. And I love how he worked. To challenge Ahab again. I want to move down to chapter 18, verse 22 through 26 of chapter 18 of 1 Kings. It says, "Then Elijah said to the people, 'I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bulls.'" Well, I love this. "And let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it." Baal was the god of fire, of light, of warmth. It's just kind of neat how God is directing Elijah. I mean, who would have thought? I didn't think about it hardly at all until I started studying this passage of scripture again and found out that Baal is a goddess of heat and light and fire. And so he's really, really challenging these priests of Baal. Okay, if your God is the God of fire, then have him burn up the offering. Just put it on there. Don't put any fire to it at all. Just leave it as it is and go to it. Have your day. I love Elijah. I don't know if I'd have had quite the nerve that he had, but he got in Ahab's face and those priests' face. Well, come on, you guys. Come on. And they did terrible things to themselves. I mean, they cut themselves and they did all kinds of atrocities to themselves trying to get the Baal to send fire down, and he's the fire god. How come he isn't doing it? Oh, I can just hear Elijah. Come on, you guys. Where's your God? Where is he? And I want to tell you, we live in a country that's scary. Some of the things that people worship in this country, one of the main things that people worship in this country is money. Everything is geared towards money. No, we need money. I'm not preaching against money. I like money. I need money. You know, until the day Jesus takes me home and I get my reward in heaven, which will be satisfying forever and ever, I still need money. Chapel Point wants some of my money. And so does the gas station. And so does the grocery store. Everything is predicated on money in our culture. Now, I don't want to get political about it, and I could. You talk to me later, and I'll tell you what I think about our president. You notice I'm not smiling. But Elijah was in his face, was in the face of Ahab and all his wonderful prophets. All day long until the evening sacrifice was to be given. Let me tell you this little bit of history thing in case you don't know. And at time, there was a time of evening sacrifice in Israel and Judah. And it was in the evening. Everybody at that time that worshiped Jehovah God in Judah had gone to offer the evening sacrifice. That was part of their daily activities. And so Elijah really was being a very good Jew. He set it up to let the Baal guys go first, and then the evening sacrifice, when all of Israel, Jehovah worshipers, will be offering the evening sacrifice, then I will call on our God that he might reaffirm that he is God and there is no other God. He is God. Jehovah is God. And so after the prophets of Baal did their thing and blew it royally, Elijah steps up at the time of evening sacrifice. And he says, come here. He cut up the bull. First, he built the altar of 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And he put the wood on it without fire. He cut the bull up and he put that on there. And then he told them to put several huge vessels of water. Dump it on. Now do it again. Now do it again until there was so much water that the ditch that they had dug around there to hold that seed that was part of the sacrifice, of the evening sacrifices, when Israel would honor their God for the harvest, for their salvation, and for all the blessings that God gives. He says, that water filled the trench up. And the prayer, Elijah prayed, it was absolutely marvelous, beginning with verse 36 through 40. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then, here it is, God's marvelous miracle again. I don't know how it happened, but I want to tell you what. I'd have loved to have been standing in this crowd. I don't know how it happened. All I know is a ball of fire of some description. God Almighty himself came down on that sacrifice and absolutely obliterated it. The water was gone. The trough was gone. The stones were gone. The sacrifice was gone. There was nothing left. And the response of the people is the response that I desire for myself and my own life. When I see the power of God mightily at work in my life and in our lives and in his church, we need to cry out, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." He will not fail us. We will not fall short. And I'm going to end with one more miracle. When that was all done and the people turned their hearts to God and cried out, "The Lord is God, the Lord is God," Elijah said in his heart, "It's time now for me to call on God to do what he promised he was going to do." Ladies and gentlemen, when God promises us something, when the time comes, we need to ask God to do what he promised. And God promised Elijah, you go see Ahab and you tell him, "I'm going to make it rain again. The famine's over." And so it happened. I forgot one little thing that happened in the meantime. I need to quit pretty soon. I just want to say this, you know, some people say, "Why in the world did Elijah go down and massacre all those priests?" It reminds me of what it says in Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. It's true today. You know what? If people reject, like these people were rejecting Jehovah God, the consequences is death. If you or myself do not confess our sins before God and ask him to forgive us and renew us and bring us into his family, the day is going to come when the judgment of God will be as swift and as sure as when Elijah had those prophets of rebellion massacred. The wages of sin and rebellion is death. That's Bible. I didn't make it up. It's the way it is. And so I want to charge you folks today, if you do not know Jesus Christ, now, I know many of you here, but I don't know everybody in this church anymore. But if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior, now is the time. Today is the day. This is the moment. And you don't have to wait for an altar call. You can be right where you are and you can bow your head in sincerity before the living God, the God of Elijah, our God, my God. My God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than what I can even ask or think. And he's going to do that today in your life. If you need to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is your moment. Right where you are. to pray that prayer in humility and before the God of glory, before the God that sent fire from heaven to consume that sacrifice. May your heart today cry out, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And I receive you today into my life." Well, I'm going to make a long story short. Here goes my notes. Elijah walked away from the sacrifice. And he went off with one of his servants. The Bible tells us that he put his head bowed to the earth and put his head between his knees. I can just see him. I can't do that because I have a muffin top. I can almost do it. But there's Elijah. I think he was as prostrate before God as his understanding. And he prayed, "Lord, send the rain." And he sent his servant out, and the servant came back. "There's no clouds. Go again. Go again. Go." And the seventh time he sent the servant out, and the servant came back. I always get excited about this because a hand like that in the clear blue sky, if you've ever been out in big country, where it's just blue. We lived out in big country for a while, where the horizon was as far that way as it was that way, and you could see it all. A cloud the size of my hand isn't very big, but it was big enough to excite Elijah. Elijah said, "Yes, God heard us. God heard me. Get back here. Tell Ahab to get in his chariot, get it hooked up, and get off of this mountain before it's too late." I love Elijah, as cruel and as mean and as hateful and as deserving of punishment. It was not Elijah's point to meet judgment on Ahab. It was God's. I think he very generously said, "Get off the mountain." And I just love him. I love him for a lot of reasons. But I love him because he was a man of tremendous faith. He was a man who was completely obedient to what God had asked him to do. He was fearless. He took up his sword and wield it as God wanted him to. And God honored him. And so in order for Elijah to get off the mountain, the illustration is kind of neat. I like it. Because he had a flowing kind of a garment on. It says he reached between his legs and he pulled the garment up and stuck it in his leather belt and outran the chariot. That's a pretty cool guy. It was probably at least 30 miles or more. He outran the horses. May God help us. May God give us such powerful opportunities that we can outrun the devil, that we can outrun the onslaught of the enemy that's attacking this church and every other evangelical church. And most of all, may we pray against the attack of the devil on the servants of Jesus Christ who are pastoring our churches. May God somehow come upon them with a mighty kind of power that they can always stay well ahead of what the devil's trying to do.